this is the performance I'm still thinking about. This is the performance that, like, was more impactful to me.
She sparkles, and I'm like, girl, why aren't they recognizing you? What is it?
Like, vocally, nominated for sure. But if it was just based on acting, I would actually omit him from this category.
I screamed. Ah, it was thrilling.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Off to Broadway. This is part two of our Tony nominations episode. I'm here to date stamp this episode. We recorded on May 2nd, and since then, we've learned about the closing of Bad Cinderella, which will be on June 4th. And we have also learned that the Tony Awards this year will not be televised due to the writer's strike. Now, some things could change between now and June 11th, but at the moment, there is no ceremony on TV this year. Here is part two of our nominations. Enjoy.
It's very upsetting.
Okay, should we move to our acting categories?
Yes, let's start with featured so we can really end with my champion, with my pièce de résistance of best actor and best actress, because
I failed. I'm excited. Here.
Let's start with featured actor in the musical. Mm-hmm. So the nominees are from Kimberly Akimbo, Justin Cooley. From Some Like It Hot, Kevin Del Aguila. From Shucked, Alex Newell and Kevin Cahoon. And from Camelot, Jordan Donica. Hot. Okay.
Jordan Donica and Alex Newell are the only two that I got right.
Okay, so...
I really thought Gayton was going to get a nomination.
No.
I only thought this because, like... I mean, we'll get to them in a minute, but, like, Ruthie Ann Miles got nominated, so I really thought that they were going to give him a nomination to, like, round out the acting categories.
Here's where I went. So I got Justin Cooley. I got Kevin Del Aguila, Kevin Del Aguila, to me, is my greatest pick. It is my greatest pick. He wins the Andy Grotolution Award of 2023. We were burned in 2019, and I will not be burned again. And then I also got Alex Newell. Okay, who else I had picked was Alex Joseph Grayson as Jim Conley in Parade. That was my other choice.
Great.
And my final choice was random side character in New York, New York.
Which would have been Colton Ryan's character's friend. That's who it would have been.
He could have also won the Andy Grotolution Award of 2023.
There's too many side characters, I think, for them to pick just one. So that's probably why that happened.
That was who I was going with. Random side character. Tell us your list.
Stark Sands, Gavin Creel, Gayton Matarazzo, Jordan Donica, Alex Newell.
Yeah, so Jordan Donica I had in lead.
And I didn't nominate him,
but I thought he was in lead.
So. And I had Justin Cooley in lead because of previous awards from last year, but he actually turns out to be in featured. And I would like to talk about Justin Cooley for a second.
Talk about him. Tell us about him.
The way that I am in love with Justin Cooley. And his characterization of Seth Wheatus.
He's a child.
Oh my God, Seth Wheatus! The cutest, sweetest character ever. Yes, Justin Cooley is a child. He is 19 years old, nominated for Tony. He graduated from high school 2 years ago. So this is actually so exciting that this has happened so quickly. I have nothing but praise for his performance in Kimberly Akimbo. And... oh, this is so hard. I would say based on what I saw, he's a clear winner. Although.
You also saw.
Two performers in Shucked. Discuss. Alex Newell, I'll get to you in a second, but Kevin Cahoon stole the entire show.
Wow, really?
That man is so funny. He is so funny. Every joke is coming from him.
Really?
That's so funny. And there are so many jokes. Shucked is very sexual. I didn't know this until I saw it. But the jokes, they're really leaning into the sexual comedy and it works. I've also never been in an audience that was vocally laughing so loud before in my life.
Is it related to the shape of a corn?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, it is. I mean, Alex Newell also playing to the sexual corn comedy, but Kevin Cahoon has these moments when they're asking all these characters what they think, and then he just walks to the center of the stage. He's like, well, you know what I think, and then goes off on these random comedic tangents that has the entire crowd cackling. People are crying because they're laughing so hard at his jokes.
Oh wow, we love
so,
that.
So shout out to Kevin Cahoon for doing that. But let's talk about Alex Newell for a second.
Right. Robbed
in
the year 2019.
robbed
for Once on This Island, which we are about to talk about.
Yes. Alex Newell also came out the other day and said about the acting categories, which we had talked about earlier, that Alex Newell actually doesn't have like their pronouns on the internet, because I think they go by all pronouns, is what I understand. But Alex said that like actor is actor, so that's the category that I will be
everybody
in.
Is an actor.
Yeah, no matter what gender, no matter what anything, like I am an actor, so I will be in the actor category, which I think a lot of people were asking that question because Alex does play a woman in this show. The character is Lulu.
Is that, can I ask, is that commented on in any way, or is it just this is the performer playing this character?
No, like the character is a woman, that's it. Okay. There's no like comment of like someone is playing someone else, like she is a woman and no questions asked.
Right.
And I don't know, I would like to believe that this part was written with Alex in mind because of the song that Alex sings, which is independently owned. There was a mid-show standing ovation, started like literally the row behind my brothers. We were on like opposite sides of the theater, but I looked over and I was like, that's not Corey and Tyler standing, is it? It wasn't.
Imagine it was them. They're like, they were so moved. They were moved. They had to leap to their feet.
But there was a moment when I was like, oh man, it could be them, but it wasn't them.
That would be shocking. That would be the most shocking thing happened.
I would be shocked is what would happen.
You would be shocked.
Yeah, so that song is literally about like Alex's character, Lulu, runs a corn whiskey business. And she's talking about like her company and how she's independently owned. And when we get to the lyric, which like shout out to Larry Owens for giving us the bootleg and putting it on Instagram, but when we get to the lyric, I'm independently owned and modulated, and then we go up a key. Damn.
I won't change who I always been. A
is giving a
star.
A healthy vocal performance in Shucked. Like, it's actually wild. But I will say, without that song, not nominated. Because,
right.
Like, Lulu doesn't have that much to do much in the first act. She does more in the second act. But before that song, I was like, this is a Tony-nominated role?
Why are you here? What are you doing?
And then
here?
Act 2 happened, and I was like, oh, I get it. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking. I'm unsure who my winner is.
I'm going to say Justin Cooley.
You're going to say Justin Cooley? Okay, I like to be different. I'm going to say Alex Newell. I feel like people still...
Either or.
I feel like people still talk about them in
Once on This Island
mm-hmm. and how robbed mm-hmm. they were.
Also because like that Tony performance and having exactly. Alex perform and give that performance was like, this is, I'll show you why like I should be nominated and win for this. So
yeah,
okay,
for sure.
Featured actress. This was okay. The category that we were like, damn, so many people could be nominated. And I think this is where they were like, there's so many options here. We just got to pick and choose.
I have a list of snubs. I was like, let me write down some snubs, and I'm feeling like literally all from this category. Okay, so the nominees in featured actress in a musical are Bonnie Milligan from Kimberly Akimbo, Betsy Wolfe from Anne Juliet, Natasha Yvette Williams from Some Like It Hot, Julia Lester from Into the Woods, and Ruthie Ann Miles from Sweeney Todd.
I saw a tweet today that was like, can you believe someone from High School Musical, the musical, the series, is nominated for a Tony Award?
I cannot, but...
I mean, you saw Julia Lester.
She was great. She was so fun.
Yeah.
She's absolutely so much fun, and I saw it with my parents, but when you're three people and one person wins the lottery, you always end up separated. So my parents were in a little box.
Me too.
My parents were in a box, and I was by myself on the other side of the theater. I was, like, waving at them.
Yeah.
So at intermission, I saw them, and my mom's like, Little Red Riding Hood is so good. Like, loved her. She plays Red as this... she has this like attitude to her that I don't know if Little Red always has. Maybe she does, but
for anyone that hasn't seen it, I think the cast recording is actually a really good listen to like hear her personality.
Yes,
you can hear it.
A lot of times it's played by a child, and a lot more and quite a lot more innocent. But this Little Red is very, I don't know. She is sassy. She is strong. She is an independent girl who goes in the woods by herself and has no problem with it. You know what I mean? She doesn't like when you tell her that she can't be in the woods by herself.
Well, I guess as a comparison, like we saw Katie Garrity do it in the Into the Woods tour. Like, was their performance similar?
It was fairly similar. I would say it was fairly similar.
Yeah.
I think Julia Lester was the blueprint for this production.
Where I saw understudy... Well, at the time, Julia was out or finished her run and Katie was in. But I saw Delphi. I can't remember her last name. But then I also saw Katie when we saw it on tour. And they gave almost like completely different performances. So I don't know. But still sassy, but just in like a different way.
Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah, I think it's interesting. I really liked what Julia Lester did. It was very fun with it. I felt she sounded good, but I almost wanted her to sound like a little bit better, if that made sense when I saw it. But... you know.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
My sadness in this category. Well, here are the snubs in this category.
I also have a sadness in this category after what I saw. Yeah,
let's talk about this snub in this category for me is Philippa Sue, who is just the most ethereal princess Cinderella. I mean, we'll talk about her as a princess in a second.
Also snubbed.
But this for me is the true snub. Mm-hmm. Her as Cinderella was just, I thought she was so perfect as Cinderella. I also think anything she does, she brings this like lightness, this wonderfulness to, that I think is just like inherent to her. So I was sad not to see her in this category because I thought she's beautiful.
I actually think it's pretty surprising because it almost felt a bit like the year of Philippa Sue, because she also did that Kennedy Center run of Guys and Dolls, which with her husband, Stephen Pasquale. And hot. Even that, I had heard that like she was outrageous in that. So it seems like everything she touches is gold, but apparently not gold enough, you know?
She has this like... I don't know, this sparkle to her.
Yeah.
That I think literally in everything she does, she sparkles. And I'm like, girl, why aren't they recognizing you?
I know.
What is it? The only Tony nomination she has is for Hamilton, which is honestly the show she has the least to do
in comparison.
The shows that she's done. She's wonderful in it. Everyone is wonderful in Hamilton. But she's so relegated to Eliza's so relegated to the side. Whereas the next year she had Amelie, which was kind of a flop, but wasn't nominated. And then this year she's got Into the Woods and she's got Camelot and just nothing for her.
I know.
And it's interesting. It's quite interesting.
My snub of this.
Go on.
Don't get me wrong. Bonnie Milligan deserves to be here. She really does. She should have... I don't know that she should have been nominated for Head Over Heels, but a lot of people think that she should have been nominated for Head Over Heels.
She was wonderful in Head Over Heels. Heels was bad, though.
I also and just I will feel stand like by that. I listened to Playbill had posted some like snippets of reactions from this morning on their Instagram page, and Bonnie said it's been like a really long road to get here because she's been like trying to be in Broadway shows, but she's been consistently working, just never in like something that has taken off until this. So I feel like very well deserved. She is hitting some like crazy notes in this show. However, the performance that I'm still thinking about today is Ali Mazzie.
You know how I feel about Ali Mazzie.
Steph, this you don't even know.
I know I don't even know. At intermission, I'm like, how's Ali Mazzie?
I can't even like fully talk about it right now because it's in my obsession. But like, you don't even know the performance that she gives. It is like, one, she has the chance to like show her comedic chops. And every time she was doing comedy, I like thought of her like popular Galinda because like that's kind of like what she... is good at. And the moment that you like give her moments to do like these comedic times in like heavy scenes, like she really shines. She had the audience like cackling the entire show. But then her character is also like a deep narcissist and is like having a really tough time like
with what her daughter is going through.
And her daughter's about to die.
But also she's pregnant with another baby in the show too. And we find out, a big spoiler at the end, that the pregnancy is not exactly the way that you think the pregnancy is, because she's terrified that it's going to happen again. So there's this character is very complex, yet she plays it so well. Again, there's a moment that I could talk about forever, which I will save it for the obsession, but this is the performance I'm still thinking about. This is the performance that was more impactful to me than Bonnie.
Bonnie is bigger, but Allie has the heart.
She's doing a lot of work, it seems, in this. And I've seen her talk about this show and how she says that some of the stuff that she's singing is a musical theater actor's dream, to be able to sing these very detailed storytelling songs. That being said, I do also have two other snubs in this category.
Well, let me talk about someone that I nominated in my predictions that I think is your snub here. Carolee Carmello. I picked Carolee Carmello. I had faith in Carolee Carmello, and they have failed her again.
And after seeing that performance, I was like, you know what, Steph? I think you're right. I think Carolee Carmello is going to get nominated for this. But Carolee aside, the true snub of this category, Grace McLean, how dare they not give her?
So they're the stepmothers. They're the mothers, the stepmothers? So, okay, tell us who they are.
Well, not the stepmothers. So Carolee Carmello is Cinderella's stepmother. I would also like to point out that they literally call her Bad Cinderella the entire show, as if that's her full name.
Bad Cinderella?
Yes.
Why would they do that?
And I want to know if this was a rewrite for Broadway when they changed the title, or if this was always in the script.
They have to. Well, and Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella, right? They just called her Ella, which is a very normal name, right?
Except for when the stepmother yells at her, so they're Cinderella, to get her attention, right?
Ella was her nickname. But this girl's nickname is Bad Cinderella.
The only person that doesn't call her Bad Cinderella.
Do you think her birth certificate says Bad Cinderella? First name Bad, last name Cinderella.
I don't know. I just, the only person that doesn't call her Bad is Prince Sebastian. He's the only one. The rest of them are Carolee Carmello's
Jordan
talking. Jordan Dobson. Carolee Carmello's talking. She's Bad Cinderella. I'm that's not her name.
That's so weird. That's really weird.
And then Grace McLean plays the queen of Belleville, which is the land that this show takes place in, who is also Prince Charming, who we see at the very end of the show, and Prince Sebastian, who is Jordan Dobson's mother. Grace McLean has a number in this show.
Talk about it.
I need to find out what it's called, because... Oh, I would also like to say that apparently this was added in April in each playbill. It says, "Dear friends, welcome back to the theater. As you all know, theater is a shared human experience. It is made and managed and dedicated by dedicated, caring people." And then it goes on to say, "To help you and the people around you have the best time, we please ask that you always cooperate with the ushers in the front of house staff." Correct. "Turn off your cell phones. Unwrap all candies now and refrain from loud eating during the performance. Treat all theater staff you see with respect and kindness. Be engaged in the show, but also be respectful of people around you. And do not make any overly disruptive comments. Do not sing along."
Imagine someone knowing the words. Imagine
I knew the words to Bad Cinderella.
I am Bad Cinderella.
That's it. That's all I knew. "Do not engage with the actors or musicians working in the show. Only engage if they encourage you to, and please do not distract them at any time during the performance."
Wow.
Here is my favorite one.
Please.
"Stop drinking alcohol immediately. If you're feeling tipsy, drink some water." Thank you, Playbill.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for the advice. Should I take this advice right now?
And then, "Be patient with the restroom lines. We know they're long and space is tight. Do not be pushy or rude. Everyone will get their turn." And then finally, "Relax, sit back, and enjoy the show. Once again, we would not be here without you." I'm like, did they add this because of all of the drama that happened at the Bodyguard in the West End? Maybe.
I don't know. That's kind of odd. Did any of your other playbills have this?
Every playbill has it.
Oh, really?
Yes. It was added in April to all playbills.
To all playbills.
Which is why I think that maybe something happened there.
Sure.
Okay, I'm trying to find this song.
What I'm saying, what I need to say about that, though, is that someone who's going to be disrespectful is not really reading the Playbill cover to cover.
Absolutely not. And if they're going to be disrespectful, it's going to be a bad Cinderella. Although my audience, very respectful. The highlight for me was the Queen and the Hunks. That is what they're
like shirtless.
Yes.
Kind of bondage singing outfits.
Man's man. And that's amazing. When I think I texted you and I was like, this show was so horny. I literally don't even understand what I'm watching right now because everyone is so sexually charged. And I'm like, they're all going to sleep with each other by the end of this.
Okay. If we had to rank all the shows you saw from most sexually charged or least sexually charged to most sexually charged, let's go. Let's do it right now.
Oh, man. Least? Kimberly Akimbo.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah,
less than Parade. Less than Parade.
There's like a sex scene in Parade.
Okay.
Kind of. It's insinuated. I would say okay. Parade and Kimberly Akimbo are like tied. Okay. And then New York, New Yorked, Shucked, Bad Cinderella. Number one, hands down.
Number one, Bad Cinderella. Okay.
When Prince Charming comes back from wherever he was like fighting his battle to announce that he's getting married to a man, the number that we got, I don't even know what this show is. I don't even know.
I've heard the show is, okay, this is one person on the internet said this, but I want to believe them, that the show is bad until the last half an hour where it actually gets great. What are your thoughts on this?
I actually don't think the show is bad. I think it is not good, but yeah, I also think that it's like straight up camp, and if you can't appreciate camp for what it is, then like get out.
Yeah. Like some, okay. So
I texted you saying if you were with me, we would be living our best
for sure,
lives.
For sure.
This would be Diana all over again.
So, but you think it is camp because some people think it's not bad enough to be camp. Like it's not.
I don't know that they think it's camp, but everyone in the audience thinks it's camp. How can it not be the way their social media strategy is? They literally, when Prince Sebastian is introduced to the audience, he is introduced as the spare. Like that is comedy camp.
Wow. Wow.
It's comedy. I will say my biggest issue with this show, among like other things.
Yeah.
But like when she has the transformation to go to the ball, because it's still the same storyline of like he's looking for a wife, whatever. But he likes her the way that she is because she's like edgy. And she transforms. But the fairy godmother is like a plastic surgeon and they're kind of giving her like plastic surgery.
Oh, no.
Like, needle to the face.
Oh, like Botox. We're getting Botox.
And then, like, she has a wig change. And literally listening to the man behind me trying to talk to his wife, partner, girlfriend about the wig change, she was like, she was obviously wearing that underneath. And I wanted to turn around and be like, I watched them take off her wig and put on a new one. But you know what? You do you.
It doesn't matter. Whatever you think happened.
Anyway, that's my biggest issue with Cinderella was the plastic surgery. But like, I don't think we were listening to the rules though from Playbill about not being tipsy at Bad Cinderella. I actually think you should go tipsy to Bad Cinderella.
I pay $30 for a cocktail for a double shot, whatever it is.
It is. The Belleville Bellini is $26. I heard someone buy it. And I also saw three people buy bucket hats. So like, they're winning.
A bucket hat. You know what? That's fun.
I love that feature actress led us to here, but that was my review on Bad Cinderella.
A full snub for Carolee Carmello.
But
and
truly,
her,
they held the show on their backs McLean. And snubbed.
Wow.
Snubbed they carried with it, a capital S.
They carried it single-handedly or double-handedly, I guess.
Other than that, we can't really comment on Ruthie Ann Miles, although thrilled that you are here.
She's always a star. She's absolutely wonderful. And then the kind of random nominee who is also winning the Andy Grotolution Award of 2023, Natasha Yvette Williams in Some Like It Hot. Who are you?
Here's the thing, though. They said Some Like It Hot is going to get the most number of Tony nominations for new musicals. So we got to nominate in all acting categories as well as everything else. This is where I thought they would go with Sweeney. That's why I really thought Gayton was going to be nominated for the Some Like It Hot reason.
No. Natasha Yvette Williams' previous credits include Chicken and Biscuits, Chicago as Mama Morton replacement, Tina the Musical, Waitress as Becky replacement, okay. A Night with Janis Joplin, Porgy and Bess, The Color Purple, okay.
Like the most recent Color Purple?
No, the 2005 Color Purple.
Oh, okay.
The straight up 2005 Color Purple. I'm sure she's lovely, but it's super random, but I'm sure she's great in it. I had to write her in because I didn't
even I had her on my long list. I did have her on my long list, yeah.
I did not. I had to write her in. I had to write her in.
She is underneath Melanie LaBerry and Anika Larsson.
Wow.
And then the final nominee in this category, someone we've talked about many, many, many times, is Betsy Wolf. This yes. was obviously going to happen, and I still think she's going to win.
I was going to say, this is also my winner. I think this is going to be the place to honor Anne Juliet. I don't see them winning much else.
I did see a tweet today where someone was like, they should be winning sound design because out of every theater in Broadway, you can hear those vocals crystal clear. Great. I was like, okay, great. That's amazing because we're not hearing that out of Sweeney Todd. So,
and we did not hear that here in Toronto, to be honest.
No. So if they're like crystal clear vocals over at the Sondheim, then like shout out. That's give great. Them a Tony.
Maybe costume design? I don't know. Did they get honored for costume design?
Also, another like maybe bad Cinderella snub. Set, scenic design, and costume. The costumes were gorgeous in Bad Cinderella.
I think there's just a bias against Bad Cinderella.
Oh, 100%. But let's spit facts here. Like, the dresses that Carole Carmello is wearing are next level. I bet you however, William Ivy Long did it, it would have been nominated.
Sure. But, however, anytime I see Cinderella in something... She's in that horrible t-shirt, jacket, fishnet situation. And so that's the lasting image of the costumes of that show for me. And I think
You're right.
I think it's so bad.
They should have been marketing like the stepsisters and Carolee and Grace. Even the men. Like, let's nominate the bondage hunks. Why not? Highlight those costumes.
So, but the there's a bias against Bad Cinderella.
The set was like some of the best set I saw all weekend. Yeah.
Who was nominated for set design for scenic design of a musical is New York, New York, Sweeney Todd, Camelot, Shucked, Some Like It Hot. Okay.
I probably deserved, yeah. New York, New York, out of all of those, has the best physical set.
So now let's go to the final two categories, which is really where I shine. Let's start with Best Actor in a Musical. We have 6 nominees in the category, which really threw us for a loop because we only predicted 5. But the nominees are, from Some Like It Hot, J. Harrison Gee and Christian Borle. From New York, New York, Colton Ryan. From Into the Woods, Brian D'Arcy James. From Parade, Ben Platt. And from Sweeney Todd, Josh Groban. Now, I predicted 5 of the 6 of these perfectly, and then I missed Christian Borle because I only predicted 5. But I really nailed this.
I really feel I nailed this. Even if we thought 6, I don't know that we thought that they would give a double to Some Like It Hot.
We should have known because
they love Christian Borle. They love that man.
This is an interesting category because let's revisit 2017 where where Ben Platt, Josh Groban, and Christian Borle were all nominated in the exact same category.
And Philippa Sue was snubbed also that year. So
who won?
Really just a redo.
Oh, Ben Platt won.
Ben for Dear Evan Hansen, right? He won.
I don't think he's going to win this time? Ben Platt. Because as I said earlier, I actually think he's a bad actor. An incredible vocalist. Oh,
as has been documented on this podcast.
Now, I don't know if that's like a me problem, but I really had a hard time separating Ben Platt as Ben Platt, Leo Frank. It was like very difficult. And I don't know if that's me or that's him. That like it's so hard to see him play... One, it's so hard to see him play someone other than, like, Evan Hansen, which is horrible that that's, like, attached to his entire career now because of that movie, but I feel like it unfortunately is. And then two, I also see, like, Ben Platt, like, the pop star, and I don't know. I sent you a text. Remember my friend Cam, whose uncles, which, like, if they're ever listening, like, we'd love to have you on the podcast because they go to New York way more than we do. And he sent me a text message of their review and they had said, which I had sent to you, that they felt ripped off by Ben Platt. And I actually kind of feel the same way.
That's interesting.
Like, I was not attached to his Leo, which is why maybe the ending, like, didn't feel devastating to me because I didn't, like, see him as that character. I also had a hard time believing their relationship. And I know that, like, the chemistry is a selling point for the show. And I will say the moments that they have together are pretty, like, magical.
But they just don't spend a lot of time together in this show. So it's very hard to like believe in that relationship because you're not seeing that relationship. So I don't know, like vocally nominated for sure. But if it was just based on acting, I would actually omit him from this category.
Here's my opinion based on a show I haven't seen. I think Ben Platt is probably miscast in this. I don't think he's the right person for this part. Not like, I wouldn't go so far saying he's a bad actor. I think he has things that he really suits. But I don't think Leo Frank is it. And I feel like his style of singing, while gorgeous, cancel all your parties.
Forget your big parade.
Forget your big parade. I think it's a bit distracting in these songs.
I will say his
vocalizations.
He's not riffing up a storm like he normally does.
Okay, good. Good to know.
Ben is known for his vibrato. And
yes, that's what I mean. I'm specifically talking about the vibrato.
If you can't get past the vibrato, then you can't get past anything. I will say, though, like in terms of like where this sits, it sits really well in his vocal range. So for that, I think he's doing a really great job. I also don't know that there's like, I don't know, the character of Leo, as much as he is the lead, he doesn't have as much to do as other characters in that show. Because a lot of it, he's just like sitting on stage.
He is like a proxy for other people's thoughts, opinions, blah, blah, blah.
We were watching him for the entire 15 minutes of the intermission, and he only drank water twice. So, important information.
Good for you. I also think, okay, here's my take. I think his face is too expressive for something like this.
I was sitting in the mezzanine, so I couldn't really, like, tell exactly his expressive face. But it's just, like, when you look at this playbill, you're like,
bring it up. Show us the face.
That's Ben Platt wearing glasses. Like, that's what you see when you see this.
You're like, oh, Ben Platt in glasses. I've got the magic in me. No?
I don't know. And then I guess, like, I haven't seen it, but I think I could say the same thing maybe for Josh Groban, although it does seem like he might be the one to beat right now.
Okay, in my heart of hearts, like, BDJ.
I know.
But it's not happening. It's not happening. So we're going to go somewhere else. And I don't think it's going to be Colton either.
Are we going to...
Talk about him. Talk about him. Tell us about him.
The best part of New York, New York was Colton Ryan. I would like to... Oh, here's this playbill. Gorgeous.
Yes. Stunning. Shows. Beautiful. Look, even the pose they're taking. He's like lifting her in that picture.
Yes. Another show that like... Think of, this is La La Land, but in New York. I have not seen New York, New York, but I am very familiar with La La Land. But same vibe of like, she's a struggling singer. We're like, La La Land, she's a struggling actress. He opens a music club. I was like, wow, guys, same story. But I get, this one's called Major Chord.
Do they end up together in the end or do they not? Maybe. Tell me. Just tell us.
They do end up together in the end. Okay. There is a brief moment where they like have a falling out. Anybody that says...
Because my favorite part of La La Land, that they don't end up together.
Well, yeah. It's like not the, no,
they're not together.
Oh, okay. Right. Like, but they got married and then they break up, but it's assumed that they get back together.
Okay.
But he opens
a divorce. Like, that's so shocking.
I know.
A divorce.
I don't know if it was like a legal divorce, but like maybe...
Sure. A separation.
We don't really get into it. There wasn't a lot of backstory on their characters because there's too many other stories that the show is focusing on. But... I will say, Colton, this is the first time I've seen him on stage, but if you've listened to this podcast, you know we are longtime fans of Colton Ryan.
Stunning vocals as well.
And I would like to tell everybody that is saying that his vocal performance is not good in this show to exit the room. They say that he sounds like Kermit the Frog.
He does sound like Kermit the Frog.
No, he doesn't.
I agree with that. I agree with that in general. I agree with that generally. I haven't seen the show, but I would go with that in general for Colton's vocal performance. I don't think it's bad, does have a Kermit. He does have a Kermit overtone.
And then the other thing that I will say that I also disagree on, a lot of the reviews for this came negative, mixed negative reviews for New York, New York. And a lot of people are saying that he doesn't have any chemistry with Anna Uzeli. And I'm like, hello, were we watching the same show? Because if she wasn't falling in love with him, I was. Like, so charming, so cute. Like, the way that he looks at her... It's just like, how could you think that he doesn't have chemistry with his co-star? Like, it was actually truly mind-blowing to me. That being said, he will definitely not win this, but I am happy that he's here.
You know, I thought for a while we were going to lose Colton to TV and movies, and I'm
if anyone
happy
hasn't
that
seen
we
Little
haven't.
Voice, love him in that.
Well, like Little Voice, your TikTok that you made
it's,
on the girl
it's
from Plainville
still blowing up.
Every day we get new likes and comments on it. Oh my god! Right,
blowing
in the Dear Evan Hansen movie. Discuss the Dear Evan Hansen movie.
He was good
that,
in that.
I mean, he was in that.
Out of everyone else that was in that, I think he was.
He
like,
was barely in it. We can barely even. Judge.
We were robbed of his disappear.
We were robbed of his disappear. Just gotta be a bootleg of it somewhere, right?
I know.
Didn't he cover?
We remember Connor? The time when we also thought that he was gonna be Evan in the Toronto
yeah.
production of Dear Evan Hansen because he came to do the Murder season preview. What
yes.
was that?
Never forget. Yeah, I really thought we were gonna lose him to TV and movies, and so I'm happy we haven't. I'm happy he is back to Broadway. Again, I agree he's not gonna win this.
One more thing
on
him.
Go on.
He loves this show, and you can see it. So
that's
I feel
great.
Like
that's
it's
great.
Like very, like it's great to see a show where the character, where the actor is so like invested in their character, in their performance. Like when they sing "New York, New York" the second time for the bows. He is like amping up the audience. He's like calling for people. Like it's he's really like into
that's
it.
Fun.
Can I spoil the end? Like the
yeah,
moment.
Tell me. Let's go. I mean. Go on.
Spoiler alert if anyone is going to see New York, New York. But also, I don't know that the show is going to last very long because I actually think that it's going to be a flop. But that's a whole other story. Although someone said on the boards that they should hook up with like New York tourism and try to sell tickets. And I actually agree with that because
sure.
it is a love letter to New York City. It is
right.
gorgeous on stage. Choreography, stunning. Like, stunning. There's like an amazing tap number where they're tapping on the top of like a construction site. It's so good.
I mean, let's talk about Stroh. Like,
I know.
Susan Stroman.
But like not
that's,
nominated
that's,
for
that's,
director, and that's correct.
That's her wheelhouse though. Like dancing, choreography, stunning visuals. Mm-hmm. That's where her strength is.
So everyone's talking about like, you know, this is a big like dance heavy show. They also, a la Cursed Child, have like dance transitions almost in between scenes.
Amazing.
Tyler, that was his biggest comment to be like, it's like Harry Potter when they're like moving the cloaks. Like they do the same thing, but like in
the
dance,
wand dance
form. Yeah, basically.
Okay.
But what everyone's
take?
Biggest.
What? That's the first time that comparison has ever been made.
It's true.
Okay, go on.
But everyone is complaining that, like, New York, New York should be a big dance number, and it's not. But in my opinion, it is the most perfect way to end their show, because this show, at the end of the day, is about music. It's about them both falling mm-hmm. in love with music. So, like, long story short, after they break up, she comes back because she had, like, a falling out with her manager or whatever, and she says something that they talk about in Act One, which was that, she would like to sing with his band one day. And at that point, he did not have a band. So she asks if the offer is still on the table. And he says yes. Then we get the, like, da-da-da-na-na-na-na-na-na. And what's happening at that moment? The entire orchestra rises up from the pit. They're all wearing hats, like these New York style, like, I don't know, the hats that, like, the men wear in, like, the 50s.
Wow.
And it's, like, Colton on the piano, and, like, Anna is singing. And I was, like, this is the greatest orchestra entrance
wow.
I've ever seen in my entire life. And people are, like, it should be a big dance number. I'm, like, no, this show is about New York City and music. We are highlighting the musicians in this show. Like, this is exactly how it should have happened. However, you're sitting in the first three rows. Good luck.
You can't see
you
anything.
Gotta,
you
like,
can't see anything.
All the way up. And then they go back
okay.
down. And that's why every single person bows, because they need to get back on stage.
Oh, what do you mean they need to get back on stage? Like the band?
Like, no, Colton, Anna, and
oh,
because like,
they're in the pit.
And
they're in the pit.
They've risen
got
up.
It.
So then their pit goes
it,
back down. They gotta run.
They gotta
back
run.
On stage.
They gotta run.
So that's why every ensemble
they're
member
they're killing
has
time.
Bow.
They're just like.
Which like I also appreciate because like shout
no,
out
I love
the
that.
Ensemble.
I love that. So
yeah.
I mean, a show that didn't get nominated, but one of the best things about it is dancing. Every in Fosse's. Dancing, every dancer gets their own bow with their like real name like projected and announced, and that's nice.
And also, as of 2 hours ago, that show is now closing.
That is closing.
Where are we here? Best
actor. We need to pick a winner for best actor.
Wait,
so.
We didn't even go through the best actor. We haven't even got to best actress yet.
Best actress is the final one. It's the finale. Is my pièce de résistance
got
of
it.
My predictions. Okay, So we've got J. Harrison Yee, Christian... Okay, we've cut Colton Ryan from the running. We've cut Ben Platt from the running. And sorry, but we've cut BDJ from the running. So we've got Groban, J. Harrison Yee, and Christian Borrell left. What are our thoughts here?
I don't think it's going to be Christian Borrell.
Okay, I agree.
I think it's between J. Harrison Yee and Groban.
Yeah, I agree.
And in February, I said J. Harrison Yee.
Okay.
And with 13 nominations, I'm going to stay with that.
You're going to stay with that? Prediction. Okay.
Then because I actually think they're not going to win that much, and that might be like their sole win. That
might be the place. Yeah. Okay, to be contrarian, I'm going to go Groban.
I also know that like the reviews are in hot for Groban, and this is his time, some might say.
Yes, I think they're going to want to reward him for coming back to the theater, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm going to go Groban. That's going to be my pick. Okay, finally.
Okay, actress.
My true star moment. The best actress nominees are from Kimberly Akimbo, Victoria Clark. From Anne Juliet, Lorna Courtney. From Into the Woods, Sarah Bareilles. From Parade, Michaela Diamond. And from Sweeney Todd, Annalee Ashford. And that is the exact lineup I predicted back in January. So, congrats, what a moment for me. What a moment for me.
The only one that I had wrong was Philippa Sue.
Oh, from Camelot? What did you miss?
She was interchangeable with Lorna Courtney to me.
Lorna Courtney? See, I went with Lorna because I remember when we first saw that
first
preview of it in Toronto. She's like sitting behind the coffin and it rotates. She's got the headphones on and she's saying one line. I'm like, she's a star. She's an absolute star.
Oh, baby, baby, how was I supposed to know that something wasn't right here? Oh, baby, baby, I shouldn't have let you go. And now you're out of sight, yeah. Show me how you want it to be. Tell me, baby, 'cause I need to know now. Because my loneliness is killing me.
She also performed on Kelly Clarkson this week, singing Since You've Been Gone. Star.
She's a star. I do think she needs a stylist, but she is a star.
Maybe she'll be styled well for the Tonys. We'll see.
She needs a stylist. She's very small. And so
she's very short.
Length of things sometimes. Exactly.
Yeah.
As a small girl, as a short person, I understand. Length of things sometimes on her. I want to help her. I want to help her sometimes.
No, that's fair.
But an absolute star. And so young. Like, they're so young.
I know, so young. In terms of the rest here, again, as we know, based on all reviews, you either love Annalee or you don't. So, for that reason, I don't think she's even kind of, like, in contention here to win this.
My favorite podcast, Las Culturistas, Matt Rogers went to see Sweeney Todd. He saw it early previews, and then he saw it after previews, after it opened. And... I don't think he was crazy about it in early previews, but after it opened, he was like much more complimentary of it. And he said, Annalee Ashford is giving Goldie Hawn playing Mrs. Lovett. And I think that's really polarizing, like a really polarizing take.
No, but it's actually so true. If you read any review, no one's really talking about anyone else. Like everyone else kind of has the same reviews on every other person except for her.
If you love her, you love the show. If you don't like her, you don't like the show. Like, she is the litmus test for whether you like the show or not.
But, like, Josh Groban, everyone is cheering for. Gayton, everyone's cheering for. Everyone kind of doesn't like Jordan Fisher. So, it's, like, very interesting. And everyone loves Ruthie Ann Miles.
I did see a tweet yesterday to be, like, this is the time I want to see Gina DeWall's Mrs. Lovett. I need to see it. Because maybe she's giving the take that rest of the world wants.
Maybe it will make you see the show differently to see such a different
take. It's also, like, I love... Annalee Ashford, but her tone of like singing is very different than like a traditional musical theater singer. So you also have to like be prepared for that to hear like those kind of vocals. And I think for a character like Mrs. Lovett, I think for me it would work, but I can definitely understand how it wouldn't work for... I'm actually so interested that like in her playing Dot for Sunday, because to me her vocals do not fit Sunday in the Park with George.
Yeah, I think...
Like this is more fun and like for her.
I think her and Josh Groban together, because Josh Groban's also a very funny guy. I'm imagining a very kooky like Sweeney Todd and Mrs. Lovett.
I've heard their Little Priest is comedy.
Yeah, like, I'm imagining them going crazy, being nuts up there in a wonderful way.
No, it's true.
So I think I would enjoy their interpretation, like, them together and Annalise specifically. But, yeah, it seems if you like her, you like the show. If you don't like her, you don't like the show.
Yeah, it's so interesting. So interesting how one character can, like, turn you off.
She's so specific. But, yeah, I agree. She's not winning. I think the winner is clear.
I don't know.
I think the winner is clear.
Because I also think the winner is clear, and having seen Vicky Clark, can confirm she is as good as everyone says that she is. Yeah. She is also, like, living that entire show from top to bottom. She is going through every single emotion, like, to the point that towards the end of that show, like, she's carrying, like, handkerchiefs and Kleenex in her pockets because she is, like, sobbing on stage. Like, she is really, like, emoting in this show, which I really appreciate as an audience member. That's wonderful. She also sounds great. This sits, like, really well in her vocal register. However, I have read a lot that the dark horse of the season is Michaela Diamond. And I will say,
vocally, cancel all your parties.
Cancel all your parties. Vocally, again, she is, sure. like, she is, like, one of the, like, best on Broadway right now, I would say, vocally. Like, her voice is so crystal clear. And I remember saying this about, like, the Cher show, however many years ago. And she was so young when she did that. Not that she's old now, but, like,
she's playing a much more mature character this time.
Yeah.
Which is different.
However, the accent that she's doing, drop it. It's, like, half Southern, not even real Southern, and then British. I'm like, girl, you are from the South. Why is there a British accent in there?
They need an accent, a dialect
They needed
coach.
A lesson over from the people at Shucked who are giving the best Southern accents I've heard. Yeah.
I just...
Oh, also, speaking of Shucked for 1 second, I did want to shout out, I think... Not, I wouldn't say a snub in the best actor category, but a number like 7 would be Andrew Durand from Shucked. He's giving like a star-making performance. And then I actually texted you after I saw Shucked, and I kind of think that Caroline Inner Bickler is a bit of a snub here.
So interesting.
For a minute, I thought Sarah Bareilles was not going to make it.
I think she's just loved.
I agree, but I also think if it wasn't Sarah, I'm not sure that this role would still be nominated today.
I think that show is loved, though, too, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
That show is loved, and she is loved, and people are so... similar to Josh Groban, I think they love that she has joined the theater community and has stayed. You know, she wrote a musical. She went... and starred in it. She's done other musicals. She's still stayed within the community, and I think that's like they really appreciate that and want to reward that, and that's what that nomination is.
I don't even know who I would take out here to put Caroline in. I just thought that she gave a really great performance.
Michaela, sorry. What?
No, really?
Yeah.
Everyone loves her in this.
I haven't seen it. But
I think she's great in this, but like the general consensus is that like if you're going to readjust these Tony nominations, like she stays in over Ben.
But it's a different category. It's different categories. Like,
no, I know. But like if you're only going to nominate like one actor from that show, it's her. Like she is the.
Do you think she's a lead? Star. Do you think she's a lead?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
Ben is a lead? Like, yes, for stage time, but no for, I don't know, it's very, like...
The story
if you ask,
pivots on
If you
him.
Ask my brothers who did not like Parade, they would say that neither of them are leads.
Right.
Because they were like, I don't really understand. Actually, like, Corey was saying that he would rather just this been a play. Like, he actually thought that the music, like, took you out of the story a bit. Which I kind of agree. I do think it's, like, a really gorgeous Jason Robert Brown score.
Yeah.
But, like, with this subject matter, sometimes it is hard to, like, musicalize because there are moments that you're like, should I be clapping right now? I'm not actually sure if I should be clapping.
I mean, we've been talking about this, you know, kind of a TikTok trend was, what's the song
Tell
called?
Your Reaper not to worry. This is not over yet.
This is not over yet. Right. When they performed it on the morning show, I organically just wanted to get up and dance. And maybe that's their vocals. Ben Platt's vocals were giving that. And then I saw everyone on TikTok doing the same thing. And then people on TikTok were always like, it's very insensitive. This is a very serious song. And I was like, I understand that.
Especially
but it's a bop. It bops.
At
at that specific moment. It's yeah, when yeah. she like convinces the governor to reopen his case, and yeah. he's like, "I'm not gonna get hanged today." Like that's what he's saying.
Yeah, yeah. I understand what it's about. I understand.
I don't think the people on TikTok know that that's what it's about.
But it slaps. It
tell the my mother not to worry, tell the reaper not to hurry.
Like organically, the first time I heard it, I was just like, oh, Leo, there is. It's so inappropriate. It's so inappropriate. But
I will say though, that did get the dance. Biggest applause at the end yeah. of that song.
Like that song just applause. It has such momentum. That's yeah. like that's what Jason R. Brown does best, like a song like that, you know?
But again, and they're like, layering their voice. Voices not sure that it quite works in the context of like sure. this show. Finally, oh.
Doesn't have to walk the plank. It means the gallows still are vacant, and we've got my wife to thank. It means you shouldn't underestimate Lucille and Leo Frank. Cause we say it's not over.
I don't know. I wonder, like, who brought this to the table and was like, this, musicalize it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
It's very interesting. Okay, so are you sticking with Victoria Clark?
I am sticking with Victoria Clark. I think she's the clear winner in this. I think, so she's won once before for The Light in the Piazza in 2005. And I think she's going to win again. I think this is her story, her role.
I agree. She's also been with this show for like quite a long time. So to honor her in this way, I actually feel like this role would, to win for this, I think would be like very emotional for her because of the mm-hmm. journey that she's been on. So I would love to see her win, obviously.
A criteria, not to bring them up again, but on Las Culturistas, Matt Rogers, he says the criteria he tries to use to pick who he thinks should win is, can anyone else do this? Can anyone else play this part? And for Victoria Clark, like, the answer is, I don't think so. I mean, obviously, eventually, the nature of theater is that someone else will eventually play it. And yeah. someone else understudies her.
Yeah.
And understudies the role. But I think what she brings to it is so singular. So I think, like, based on that criteria, she is the clear winner of this category.
No, I agree. And I would be thrilled to see any recognition for Kimberly Akimbo. But I think this one would mean a lot for that show, for the cast, for everything. Okay, before we move on to obsessions, I think it's pretty obvious based on how we've done this entire episode, but I will rank my weekend.
Yes, please do.
Coming in at number 5. That's Cinderella.
Oh, wow. I really thought Parade was going to be right at the bottom there.
What? No.
Oh, you didn't like it. Okay, keep going.
I really liked, production-wise, 10 out of 10. Right. Vocals, 12 out of 10.
Yeah.
So, like, for that, it's much higher.
Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. Number 5, Bad Cinderella. Okay.
Number 5. So close to almost being number 4, but number 5. Number 4. New York, New York.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Flop. But has potential, but needs multiple rewrites that they should have done in previews, and they need to cut about, like, 6 characters.
Something Colton, I wanted to...
I love you.
Something I wanted to say before that I meant to say, I think... the cast, you were talking about how much Colton loves this show. I think they're so excited to work with John Kander. Like, yeah. So excited to work on...
And Lin-Manuel Miranda.
And Lin-Manuel Miranda. But truly, like, John Kander, like, in his 90s, with these iconic songs, I think that's very special to the whole cast and everyone involved. Agreed. Including Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Agree.
Okay,
coming in at number 3.
Parade.
For all reasons said in this episode,
yeah.
Parade. It actually should be a little lower, but again, production value, very high. Michael Arden, very high. Vocal performances, very high. For that, number 3. Number 2, I literally cannot believe how much I like this show.
Wow.
It is shocking to me how much I like Chucked, and I would see it again immediately. And wow. I would also recommend that everyone sees it and enter the lottery, because it's not that hard to win. Tyler won it, apparently. And I also won it. So,
there you Chucked. Go.
And the obvious number 1. Like, if you're in the New York area between now and August, if this does not extend, do yourself a favor and go see Kimberly Akimbo.
I feel like those top two, I knew were the top two. Like, even before you went, I feel like we've been talking about those shows. I feel like we've been talking about those two shows.
Agree, but I also do think, like, if performance for Ben was, like, a little higher, this is a very close tie.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. That's good. Although I still stand by, I don't think it needed to transfer. I think they should have left the magic at City Center.
What is Tyler and Corey's ranking? The same?
Okay.
They didn't see Bad Cinderella. They didn't see Bad Cinderella.
They did not see... So, Corey and Tyler did not see Bad Cinderella, and Corey did not see New York, New York, because he was at a wedding. So, they're... Okay, let's do Tyler's first because he is...
He saw more.
He saw more. Tyler's number five.
For people who don't know, Tyler is Tara's younger brother.
Is my younger brother.
Younger brother.
He lives in New York.
He's 26?
He's... How old am I? Turning 29? He's turning 27.
Okay.
He lives in New York. He is my place to stay, which is why you can see all of these shows. Parade. Number five. Clear bottom for him. Parade. Number four, New York, New York.
Okay.
He thought it was not good. He thought the second half was better than the first half. And he also enjoyed the orchestra entrance.
Okay.
And we also thought Billy Joel was in the theater, which was kind of exciting. Number two, Shucked.
Okay.
They really like Shucked.
Okay.
Number one, Kimberly Kimbo.
Okay.
And Corey's is Parade 3. Shucked to Kimberly Kimbo 1.
So Kimberly Kimbo was the clear favorite.
We are all very the same on the best two things that we saw this weekend was Shucked and Kimberly Kimbo.
Okay, good to know.
And like again for me, Parade a close one there just because of like everything else, but like overall good time had Shucked.
If people are asking you, they're going to New York, they're like, what should I see? You're saying Kimberly Kimbo Shucked. Like that's what you're recommending.
Yes, although everyone that's asked me, they already know what Shucked is. So I'm like, okay, then just go see that.
Okay, they know. Okay.
But for the people that don't know, I'm like, Kimberly Kimbo, that one. And then I was going to see Life of Pi, but if you don't win the lottery, those tickets are like $100. Sure. And I do think that's a lot considering the fact that they filmed that West End production and it did go to Cineplex and we missed it.
Did we? Did it really? Okay.
Yes.
We're not up on the happenings.
If I knew, I would have gone.
Yeah, sure. I would
rather paid like $15 to see it at the movie theater.
I realized I drove by my local movie theater, which is so not famous, but it's a giant spaceship. So it's kind of famous.
Famous.
And I realized I haven't been in it since pre-pandemic. And I don't know
if I've been back there either. Oh, no, I did. I saw Spider-Man.
Oh, you saw Spider-Man at my local movie theater? I like how we're not saying the name of it, which is not even called that anymore, but like it is.
Everyone knows what it is, though.
It's a spaceship. You can see it. Yeah. When I flew in from Iceland one time, I saw it from the plane. I saw it from the plane. It like lights up into the sky. It's so funny.
You're like, wow. Home.
If you don't live around here, like it sounds so silly, but it's a giant spaceship. And it like sends spotlights into the sky and the plane saw it. Okay, here we go.
We have to move on because we have been here for so long and I feel like we're about to be here for even longer, so it is now time for our obsession of the week. Okay, Steph, what do you have?
What do I have?
Actually, maybe I should go first to get this over with.
Yeah, let's do it. Do it first and then we'll end with me.
If I think it is what I think it is.
Break the form, yeah. We'll
we're breaking the form only because mine is a quick obsession because I've been talking about this show the entire time. But as I said when we were talking about featured actor, actress, and a snub, Ali Mazzi sings a song from Kimberly Kimbo called Father Time. It is gorgeous. She is singing to her baby who she is currently pregnant with. Also, Ali Mazzi has two casts on the entire time because she had surgery because she has carpal tunnel.
Great.
There's actually a whole like side plot line of how like, I don't know what this is called, but I want to say that it is diagnosed as something. But because her child has a disease, she almost feels like she needs to compete in terms of like hurting herself.
Okay.
So like, she gets surgery on her wrist because, like, Kimberly is aging. She has, like, a leg brace at one point because of this. Whenever Kimberly complains about something, she complains about something bigger to her body. So it's almost like, I know it's a form of narcissism, but I actually think it's, like, something else that I don't know the correct term for. But she's almost, like, projecting her anger about her child through, like, injuries of her own body. Which is a very, like, interesting subplot. But anyway, she sings this like stunning song to her baby. She says that, like, she used to sing it to Kimberly when she was pregnant with her, and it would always help her sleep because the baby is, like, always kicking. Now, I, in comparison to the other songs that Ali sings in this show, a lot of them are more, like, as I said, comedy style. She's not really getting a chance to, like, show off her vocals until this moment where it's, like, this gorgeous, soft song, and then she really just, like, opens up, and I could cry thinking about that moment now. It is the one song that I keep going back to on the cast recording because I think it's the one song that kind of fits as a standalone. I hope they sang it on Tiny Desk. I know they sang better at Tiny Desk because Bonnie was there with like all of the kids, but I really hope they sing that. There's an amazing video on Playbill's YouTube page. It's just like Ali singing with a microphone. She has never sounded better in my opinion. Wow. And that moment was when I was like, this is awards worthy. Like, this is something that she should be getting recognition for. So that is why I'm upset that she wasn't nominated. But I am happy that we have this, like, cast recording with her, like, emoting this way to listen to forever. So.
Baby's eyes are heavy now. Baby's breath is deep.
That's my obsession of the week. I feel like going forward, there will be like more and more things from all of the things I've seen to like pop out, which is great for me because I'm really running low on obsessions.
Me too.
So that's that. And Steph, what are we talking about today?
The past week, maybe 2 weeks, I don't even know.
I think two.
Maybe the past 2 weeks has been so thrilling for theater fans because...
Thrillifying, if you will.
Thrillifying, yes. For theater fans because of the... beginning of leaks of the Wicked movie.
I can't even talk about this.
So we started, I don't even know. Let's throw it back. Let me go to John Chu's Instagram because I want to date it. So about 2 weeks ago, the exact date was April 16th. Oh my goodness. Maybe a bit more. About 2 weeks ago, April 16th, two photographs were released. Two stills were released from the Wicked movie. A photo of kind
two
of
two dimly lit stills.
Extremely dimly lit. We're gonna bring you through the thought process. One is kind of the side of Elphaba's head, and one is Glinda from
a
distance.
With all of the like gears that you notice from like the Wicked Broadway set.
To me, it's defying gravity, Elphaba. It's right before she flies, in my opinion. Yeah. And then the other photo is Glinda from a distance in a giant pink dress. Climbing up some stairs. It's very far, and these pictures are very dark. But these were the first of anything we've seen from the Wicked movie.
Like, to the point that people were saving them on their phone and, like, upping the brightness so that we could... And, like, reposting them so everyone could see.
Could see. I really thought, like, a little tidbit about the Elphaba photo. I thought it was her nose, but it's her ear. I was like, her nose looks crazy, but it's her ear. It's the side of her head. It's fine. So that's what we got. And we're like, okay, crazy. People are like, oh my God, these photos look so dark.
The reason that these came out was because there were people that were like driving by this like countryside, London, wherever, and hearing.
So what happened was the next day they started exterior shots for the movie. So they knew.
Before those images came out is when we saw Munchkinland and that, like, shell of shit.
Yes, we'd seen kind of drone shots of them building the exterior sets before, and we'd been sending them to each other, looking at them,
But they were going to go into shoots outside.
So they knew there would be photographed, the paparazzi, a drone, whatever, would photograph them.
I mean, they knew, but they also didn't know.
They didn't know. So they knew they would be photographed the next day, so they kind of preemptively, well, we know this now, but they preemptively released these two stills from the movie to kind of give us like a little tease. And then the next thing we got was...
Also, sorry, just to preface, this first movie is not coming out till 2024.
No. A year and a half away.
Thanksgiving, 2024.
Literally so far away. Then the next day, what we got was someone in, I guess, their car driving across a lake, a pond from the set, and them recording these basically cranes just a distance from the set and hearing the recording of Ariana Grande singing No One Mourns the Wicked from the opening. And everyone's just like, I listened to it 5 times in a row because I couldn't handle it. I was like,
I've listened to it every day for the last 2 weeks.
But then it got deleted and now it's only on like certain places. Anyway,
it's on TikTok still.
It's on TikTok. It's still on TikTok. Twitter, it's gone. And then then what we got is the really exciting drone shots, which are overheads. You see Ariana Grande filming No One Mourns the Wicked. And we see her in a beautiful pink giant dress in her bubble, I assume. We see her throw fire on like a giant witch thing and it catches on fire. We see some choreography. They're in Munchkin Land for this. And then we also saw her in a blue dress in what I'm assuming is Thank Goodness, but we don't know.
That was very recent. That was only like a few days ago. That was recent.
And we saw Michelle Yeoh. We saw Michelle Yeoh in her kind of Madame Morrible outfit. I'm not crazy about Michelle Yeoh's Madame Morrible outfit, but...
That's only her Thank Goodness outfit, though.
Yes, but
The Wizard and I outfit is always better.
I love both of Glinda's outfits that we've seen so far. The pink and the blue, amazing.
An interesting, very side tangent is that the copyright from The Wizard of Oz is still held by MGM, now Warner Brothers, till the year 2035. Universal is producing Wicked, which they have a little bit of an easier way because obviously Wicked was on stage. But as everyone knows, I mean, I don't know if everyone knows, but anyone that's seen Wicked, but like the first song that she sings, No One Mourns the Wicked, she's wearing a blue dress. Obviously for this, she's wearing a pink, which a lot of people are pointing out is very similar to the Glinda dress from the Wizard of Oz movie. There are copyright claims, not claims, but like issues against the color of the ruby slippers, which is why on the stage show, they're silver. And also we don't see Dorothy's dress, on stage because there is a copyright on the exact gingham blue dress. There's also a copyright on the exact shade of green for the Wicked Witch of the West. Now, again, because Wicked already exists, I think they have a little bit of an easier road in terms of like, this has happened before with that awful James Franco, Oz the Great and Powerful, where everything was washed with like a fine tooth comb to make sure that they were not going over that. So that's just like a side story that copyright still exists.
So then I was writing something. Then CinemaCon happened. Yeah. CinemaCon happened. And
which was like last week in Vegas.
Last week. And so to a room of basically 150 people, maybe even less, they said, we've got one more thing to show you. Universal Studios has one more thing to show you. And they're like, you're the first people ever to see this. Executives at Universal haven't even seen this. And they showed them basically a 2-minute clip of little scenes from Wicked, some song from Wicked, some behind-the-scenes stuff from Wicked. And it ends with Cynthia Erivo's Defying Gravity riff. I screamed. Ah, it was thrilling. And then I heard a little rumor, speaking of the copyright claims, that there is talks between Warner Brothers and Universal. So we might be getting some, who knows? This is all speculation. This is all secondhand, thirdhand, fourthhand information. But I've also heard we might be getting a ruby slipper.
Cynthia Erivo in a second, but I had texted you immediately to be like, I think this pink dress insinuates that when, spoiler for Wicked, Nessa dies, the shoes will turn red. That's always what I thought was going to happen. Like, mm-hmm. The shoes are silver. Like, that is what happens in the prequel of The Wizard of Oz. Nessa wears these silver shoes, but then Elphaba tries to, she does a spell to help her walk. It sets the shoes on fire, which turns them red, which we do not see. They show, like, a red light on stage. But to me, like, the more, because you can buy ruby slippers, like, everywhere, but, like, that Dorothy dress is more, like, iconic that I feel like I can understand the copyright claim against that. Also, I personally don't think that we need to see, like, Dorothy in this movie. I think it's fine the way that they do it on stage where, like, you hear about her. But I don't necessarily need to see the, like, blue dress to know who they're talking about.
See, but the thing is, now we have, it's not just 2.5 hours, it's 2 full movies worth with extra songs. So I'm wondering where they're going to flesh stuff out. And this is actually absolute tangent, but do you remember when we worked at summer camp, or the summer I worked at summer camp, and we did an unauthorized production of Wicked, and I borrowed your Dorothy dress?
Yeah.
Because for the audience of parents who've never seen Wicked, I was like, I think them seeing the Dorothy dress will have them click what's going on. And so
Warner Brothers, don't sue me.
Sorry for this unauthorized production of The Wizard of Oz that we put on, or of Wicked that we put on. It was kind
of
wild.
We also put on an unauthorized production of The Wizard of Oz like 2 years before that.
That's a little bit different. But no, the Wicked one is kind of funny. But we just had Dorothy kind of skip across stage with like a basket. But I think it kind of just like places everything in a moment in time really well. So We shall see.
It's
I'm
so interesting.
I'm worried about it, but I'm interested.
Well, also, like, the Scarecrow, the Lion, the Tin Man, like, all exist in the world of Wicked as well, and there doesn't seem to be, like, as much of an issue on those, because, like, the names are enough to know who they are. You don't need to see it to be exactly the same.
Is the Frank L. Baum original books, are those public domain at this point?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But also, like, I don't know. I don't really think you can copyright a Scarecrow.
You can't copyright the characters. The real copyright is on, like, the visuals.
On the imagery from the movies. Exactly. Yes. Yes. Yeah. No, honestly, so I've been... Basically, the core of my obsession today is when they announced the casting of Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo, we were kind of both very meh on that, not that excited. And I've just been kind of unsure, personally. I've been unsure, personally, if... how this is going to go, how they're going to make this. And yet, as soon as I saw one thing from this movie...
And goodness knows.
As soon as I heard Ariana Grande singing No One Mourns the Wicked, I literally... My excitement ratcheted up to, like, 1,000. Elated for this. I went and listened to the Wicked cast recording after
Me
this.
Too! Me too!
Specifically, No One Mourns the Wicked. I was like, yes.
No, I listened all the way through, and then I listened to it again the next day, too. I've listened to it 3 days in a row. A cast recording I have not picked up in literally three years since I was on the original cast podcast when talking about Wicked. That was the last time I listened to it, which was almost three years ago. But, like, agree the way that I am was so turned off, like, by
down,
this
and I'm
a
up.
Year ago.
I'm up.
I am... invested, and it's actually unhealthy to be this invested when this movie is not coming out for a year.
1.5 years. We're gonna go to my local movie theater that looks like a spaceship when this comes out.
I'm there opening night. I'm there. We're if there's midnight. A midnight screening, we're
midnight.
There.
We need to go to a screening. We need to see. And then let's talk about who we haven't seen Cynthia in a spotting at all. We haven't seen Ethan Slater. And
No, we didn't. We saw him at a party, but he wasn't.
We saw him at a party. We haven't seen?
No, we also haven't seen Jeff Goldblum.
We haven't seen Jeff Goldblum.
But most importantly,
we haven't seen my husband, Jonathan Bailey. He was at the Met Gala. Last night was the Met Gala. He was at the Met Gala. He honestly was not serving. I hated the sunglasses. This is Tom Ford's fault, but he was not serving.
But Ariana Grande was slated to be there, and I didn't see a picture of her.
Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo were both busy filming Wicked.
But Ariana's in New York right now.
I don't know what to tell you.
Maybe she was supposed to be there, but then, like, got denied.
But Jonathan Bailey and Michelle Yeoh were both at the Met Gala. So
I saw Michelle Yeoh with Pete Davidson.
Yes, yes. It was great. Jonathan Bailey did do some interviews on the carpet, and they asked him, and he said, working with everyone is divine. They asked him how many times he's seen the movie Wicked, or the musical Wicked. Play. Do you know how many times he said? 7 times. He said he's seen it seven times.
Oh my god,
times.
I got one more on him.
They seen it 7 times. He's like, Michelle had never seen it before she was cast. And he's like, I made up for her by saying it 7 times before.
There was that, like, one very blurry picture of potentially the scene from Thank Goodness, where there's, like, a pair of white pants. It's like, is that Jonathan
Bailey? No, it's like
Bailey?
A man in a green military uniform. You're like, is it him? But
yeah,
it's a picture of Ariana Grande, like, squinting, which is very relatable to me as a glasses wearer. Whenever Ariana Grande squints.
The only thing I will say is that CinemaCon, like, TikTok that's been floating around, I still... Vocals aside, which is maybe going to be the same issue that I had with Ben Platt in Parade.
Right, right, right.
Is that I think it might be very hard to separate Ariana Grande, the person, from Ariana Grande Galinda. Because when she's speaking those lines, I'm like, that's just Ariana Grande.
What I will say about the CinemaCon things, you hear a little bit of dialogue. And I'm wondering...
It's the popular scenes from what it's.
It is the
like.
Popular. They're like, that's what makes me so nice. Like, they're almost, and this is, it's out of context, obviously, so we don't know, but it sounds like they're almost taking it slightly too seriously. And I'm like, this should be funny. This should be playful. But at the same time, it's a teaser. You don't know what cuts
actually
in the movie.
They might have recorded it specifically for that teaser.
That might be one take that they thought would be very dramatic for a teaser, but not necessarily the take that's going to make it into the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I was like, oh, this teaser that they're giving is very serious, mysterious. Whereas for me, Wicked has that, but it also has, it's funny, it's playful, it's silly.
Yeah.
And then my last thing I want to say about this, one, I'm 100% excited. My last thing I want to say about this is I was listening to the cast recording. I was driving around, you know, doing my thing. I was listening to the cast recording, and the song One Short Date came on, which is a wonderful song. And I thought, are they going to do Wizzomania in the movie? Every time
who's
I see
the mage, who's
I've seen Wicked on stage three times, which is, you know, a lot, but not that much. Every time I see it, I forget about Wizomania. And when they come out in those giant, like, rotund egg outfits, I'm like, what is happening? I forgot about this. I forgot.
I don't know.
What are they going to do? Are they going to do Wizomania in the movie? What are your takes?
I'm so interested in general to know what, like, Emerald City is going to look like. Because that's something that I think could rely heavily on, like, CGI. But maybe not, knowing that there was 9 million tulips planted. I was going to
say, they planted 9 million tulips?
So maybe John they're not relying heavily on CGI. But, okay, like, to me, that's the one place where, like, you could go heavy with it because it is, like, a mystical, fantastical, place.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it seems like they've done mostly interior shots up to this point, and now they're doing exteriors, though they're not filming every day. But he did say
there's 70 days left, and we don't know if that's for both movies or just the first one.
I think it's overall. I think they're filming both together. It is crazy. It is kind of crazy. It doesn't feel like they've been filming for that long, to be honest, but they did all their, like, pre-records back in the fall, and then they started filming in December, and they've been filming.
Also, this is not a movie where they're singing live. They are singing to
I don't think so. It's a lot going on.
The other, like, main question that we have is that, like, will there be a CGI bubble around Ariana Grande for No One Mourns the Wicked? Because it's kind of, the thing that she's standing on is kind of built that it could definitely be there. We just don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. It's
this
funny.
It feels very much, although very different, but, like, when The Dark Knight came out, in their first round of promos, they released, like, the first 6 minutes of the bank robbery scene, and everyone lost their minds. And all we've seen right now is the first 6 minutes of Wicked, which is No One Mourns the Wicked, and we're all losing our minds.
Someone's like, we're basically seeing the whole movie. And someone else, I think it's, like, Sentimental Men Podcast on Twitter. It's like, it's the opening number.
Also, shout out Sentimental Men Podcast because they are living their best lives right now. And their TikTok page is everywhere.
I want to talk to them about the Wicked movie. I want to break down every second of the CinemaCon audio.
They actually just released an episode of, like, all of the first looks. I haven't listened to it either, but I've seen a lot of the TikTok stuff, and both of them, like, there are kind of people of, like, the level of investment is high.
I honestly, before these clips and sneak peeks came out, I was so low on this. And
we were also like, is this happening? Like, is it still happening?
It's happening.
But even now, still, I'm like...
I'm at the top. John Chu, don't fail me. Do not fail me.
What also happened in that time...
Do not fail me.
Within all of the Wicked leaks was also announced that John Chu will be directing Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat in, like, 30 years from now, whenever Wicked's finished.
But that's the thing. Wicked will probably be finished, well, like, filming will probably be finished, you know, by the end of summer, let's say, maybe.
Yeah.
And then they'll be doing, like, post-production, which will probably take a long time. I'm sure
I'm sure they've also scheduled in some, like, reshoots of, like, certain things.
Sure.
Yeah. I would say filming will probably be done, like, done, reshoots included, like, end of the year. And then it's going to take a year for post-production.
Yes. I mean, he said they were doing a lot of practical stuff, like the 9 million tulips, those big sets they've built. But at the same time, you know, she's flying. You know... I think there's gonna be a lot of VFX as well, so yeah, I cannot wait till next year. It's the most anticipated movie of 2024.
Can't believe it.
I can't believe it's actually happening.
And as soon as those tickets go on sale, I will be buying them.
I'm gonna go to work the next day, be like, I saw Wicked at midnight.
Also, like, they should tour Wicked again after the first movie.
Oh yeah, I would go see it again.
Get people in your audiences, like, why not?
Goodness, no.
And with that, I think we need to end this episode.
We need to go home.
We need to go to sleep.
How's your can?
I'm empty.
I'm empty as well. Oh, I've got just a little bit left, but I'm empty.
I'm empty.
Just so we know.
We pace, though, because it was a very long record. But that's our obsession of the week. That's also our thoughts on the 2023 Tony nominations. The Tony Awards are on June 11th. We will wait to see what the awards will actually be with this writer's strike happening. So we're all kind of like in the same boat of like, is this happening? Is this not happening? So we'll see what happens on June 11th. And our next episode, we are back with another composer series. So you'll have to wait to see who we're talking about. But in the meantime, you can listen to all of our other episodes by subscribing to our podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also watch us on YouTube. And don't forget to subscribe.
And you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Off to BOA Podcast with the number 2. And there you can let us know what you think is going to happen at this year's Tony Awards and who you think is going to win.
And also let us know your thoughts on the Wicked movie, because we're actually really interested. And we will see you guys next time.
Bye.